Hello and welcome to Faces of CI. Today we're back at Towards in Chiangdao, Thailand for the 51st anniversary of Contact Improvisation. I'm joined today by guest two from Vietnam. Would you like to introduce your name with perhaps the proper pronunciation and officially where you're from?
Hello everyone. My name is Tu.
Tu.
Tu. It's going up, the tone's going up. Usually for Westerner, well, English speakers, sometimes it's hard for them to pronounce my name, so I just introduce myself like number two.
Yeah.
Easier for them, but recently I've met people who managed to pronounce my name correctly, which really makes me happy. So I start to believe in people's capacity of pronouncing my name right again.
So tu. So it sounds a little bit like a D, but it's a T.
Yes.
And I know on Instagram you go by Tu and Lee, yes, with like an actual number two. So yes, this is how I remember as well. And you're based in Vietnam.
Yes, I'm based in Hanoi. Yes, for the past around 10 years. Yeah.
Are you originally from Hanoi?
I'm originally from Hanoi, but before that, 10 years ago, I studied abroad in the States for a while. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, before that, yes, but I was born in Hanoi. Yes.
Yeah. And tell me about how you first discovered Contact, or how Contact discovered you.
It's a good story. Well, back in 2014, I started to be interested in dancing. So I first got trained in ballet and contemporary dance. They told me that it's a good foundation when you want to get into dance and explore dance further. So, ballet gave me a very good foundation, a sense of my body in space, contemporary dance as well, all the natural movement patterns that I've learned, they're all from contemporary dance. But then there's one particular part in contemporary dance that I'm really interested about, which is partnering. And I'm kind of put more of my personal research into it. So eventually at some point I discovered Contact Improvisation.
Were there contact classes kind of in, as part of contemporary training? Is this part of your study or?
No, because back then, back in 2015, contemporary dance training is still very limited in Hanoi, where I'm coming from. It is only limited in dance conservatories or dance colleges in Vietnam. And for people and those who get into dance college and dance conservatory are usually started at a very young age, around 6 or 7, and they went through the systems very rigorously trained. But but for people who just as an adult age who are interested in movement, there wasn't any source or venue for education like then. But now there are a lot more dance centers, community dance center for people to explore movement and dance in general.
So how did you end up studying Contact?
Well, because there wasn't Contact class back then, so I just, part of it, I'm self-study with my friends, with my dance friends in the contemporary dance class, and part of it, I just search for the exercises on YouTube.
Jura told me this. She was like, he learned Contact from YouTube. I'm like, how is this possible? We're all going to be out of a job.
Well, it's possible. Let me tell you that.
Wow.
It's possible. But with some limitations.
Yeah.
there are a lot of interview out there, people who are like, has been teaching contact for a long time, you suddenly get a sense of what contact is.
Yeah.
The principle and the philosophy behind it. And there are videos of basic exercises for people who want to try it out. Contact movement or contact, yeah, certain movements in contact. You certainly can learn through videos, but the biggest limitation is the sensations. You will not get the sensations through watching YouTube videos.
Yeah, it's just unfortunately. Too deep. Yeah.
because very much the beauty of contact is how it feels.
Yeah.
On your skin and on your body, all the forces, sense of touch.
Yeah.
It's very much what makes contact unique and in a way different from contemporary dance. Which is performative and very much based on how it looked, but contact is very much based on how it's felt by both partners.
Yeah, the focus is less on the visual aspect of it and more on this like internal journey.
Exactly. I think for especially for beginners, I think there's a tendency of people coming into contact lured by the cool tricks and the visual of like lifting and stuff.
Yeah.
But then the more people learn and the more people will kind of discover, oh, this is how it feels like in contact improvisations. The sense of ease, sense of effortlessness is very much appreciated. I think part of it, because of safety, I think when you do it with a lot of forces, then it's danger, it's injury.
Mm-hmm. And it's different because this is what we're shown as like the early contact performances with Steve, and what's so much touted as this is contact improvisation is the acrobatics. And it's like, to me, it's one side of it. It's like it encompasses
exactly.
So many things, but people don't realize there's this other entire world that is, so much more resonant to some people who don't want to do backflips and helicopter.
No.
And
yes, there's certain things people need to be aware of when they watch YouTube videos of Steve Paxton. So They are very trained athletes.
Yeah, don't
back
try
then,
this at home.
They're very trained athletes. Back then, he studied Zen meditation before. He studied acrobatics with professional instructors before.
Mm-hmm.
He know the safeties.
Mm-hmm.
And so if but just don't try, so please don't try his stuff at home.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So do you feel now, maybe, like, what is your interest, I think, these days in the realm of contact after going through it over the years? Do you feel like it's become more this internal ease side of things, or,
For me, yes, because when I first started, I was very much researched contact through how it looks. Because I learned through YouTube, so I was drawn to the visual of it. And then the more I dance with people, then I'm getting more and more interested in how can we dance effortlessly with each other, with a sense of ease, a sense of care, listening and respect. I think really through the process of listening to each other physically and tuning into each other, that's really how the beauty of contact emerge instead of doing tricks or flips or lift a lot. Because especially we are here in towards conference, 2 weeks, jams almost every night.
Yeah.
If you just concentrate on lifts and flies and all the tricks, then you're gonna get tired after just one or two dances.
Yeah.
But if you're really focusing on, like, really put yourself out there in the listening state and meeting people, through, like, having very, very, very
nourishing, nourishing dances.
Nourishing
yeah,
dances.
Okay.
Then it's become much more joyful, much more nourishing.
It's doable. So for reference, we're on day 3. We're back in Chengdao. Last year we were here for 5 weeks. So we were in Chiang Mai in the city for 2 weeks, and then I think 2 or 3 weeks here.
Yes.
So it is a return, which is really wonderful. I think we now understand the ropes too of how to be and exist in Chengdao, and how it takes a couple of days to really settle into your bones of like, oh, we're living in a community, and how can I enjoy what is offered in the workshops and also take space for myself. And I've chosen now the less athletic workshops to be in, because I understand like the pace of things, and I'm like, oh, I want to do less this time, and and the dances that I do have been less athletic, because I think perhaps I'm afraid of injury or something, but I'm like, man, how can I have some nourishing longer dances with a few people, and that's left me in a really good state so far. It's like a completely different attitude from last year. I was like, I want to do all of the things. I think we're all coming together from not being like away, like in COVID. It was like the first meeting of all the teachers in Asia, and there was such a high energy last year, and it's different. Like, how do you think this year? The different,
Exactly. I think I really agree with you on that. Because last year we just got out of COVID, so last year we brought in a lot of excitement, a lot of fire. Last year we just like a bomb of excitement, of getting back together and finally getting back to the practice. But for me this year, given that the fact that I've grown so much from the conference last year, I got to be more listening, a little more quiet, to really listen to those small voices, of peoples and bodies, especially of beginners, students, or people who are new to contact. And really listen to their voices, and I think I would have a different interpretation on being athletic in contact improvisations. I think every dance is physical, but for me, contact is a very generous practice, because it gives you a lot of freedom. But comes with that freedom is the self-regulation. You can self-regulate yourself how much athletic you'd like to be in the dance. You can be much less athletics, much less tricks and forces, but still have a lot of listening. Still have a lot of tuning into each other, listening to the forces, listening to the gravity, listening how much weight we are sharing. Even just tiny bits, even in those tiny bits, just sharing, like little negotiating. But it's still a very rich dance for me.
Yeah, I'm finding it's really interesting to go to these classes for beginners, and almost like go back to the basics. And like, I have this idea from teaching my workshop Momentum so many times of what the basics are, and then to see other people teach what the basics are in their own way is really actually like nourishing, and like a way to to just see how people are receptive to it and to be like, oh, there still is so much for me to learn. Like, I think sometimes you think you've maybe come to the end of a journey after studying so well, and then it's like, well, then just go back to chapter one and read it again. It's like a book, and then there's more to discover the next time you read it, in a way. I'm finding that.
Totally agree. Totally agree, because I think the principle of context is there. Stay there. Mm. But then we change. We age. I think as Martin Kion said it at some point, we all age.
Mm-hmm.
After every day, every year, we age. Our body changes. For the conference this year, I certainly felt like my physical capacity actually dropped a little bit, but my listening skill actually much more refined in a way.
Yeah.
So with that, I think it's really a gift of maturity or aging.
We're like, we're in our 30s, yeah, whatever, I'm guessing, whatever, but it still is maturity.
Yeah, it's, I like to say it's maturity. So it's actually a gift of being able to listening to those small voices, to those subtle changes, subtle negotiation in the dance, in movement. It's a really beautiful gift. And I think we will keep discovering more and more of the beauty of contact. Year after year.
I wanted to ask you as well about your experience now. You've been teaching in Vietnam and you've really gotten the scene going. I know that Hu Yun was also teaching with you for a while. He was in another episode. Do you want to share a bit about how you've been able to create this community and like what the scene is like? I know on day one we had this, we had to kind of make a map on the floor of where everybody is from at Towards, and seeing like we had to move to different parts of the floor, and we're like, oh, there's about 15 people or so from Vietnam who've come over, and like Vietnamese. Yeah. So, how did that happen?
Well, I think after this year, I think we've gained momentum. I started to share contact with the community in Hanoi back in 2017. And the reason for that, I think, very much like any other fledgling community, contact community out there, I want to have someone to dance with me.
Yeah.
That's the reason why I started to sharing with everyone else about contact. It's such a beautiful practice, relational practice. So, class after class, workshop after workshops, year to year, even through, well, we had a break because of COVID, but then we pick up again. So more and more people know about it, and they have their own process of deepening their relational practice through the dance, deepening their dancing skill. And actually, the community just very organically grows in a way.
Beautiful. And it's wonderful to see. I know at least in Copenhagen Valley, it's like we're expats and we end up teaching expats, and it actually hasn't been too much like integration or involvement. It's been, I don't know, like a frustration to be like, oh, but like people would be so embodied and they'd love this so much. And it's just really nourishing to see that there's like Vietnamese have actually like broken through this barrier. Has that been any difficulty in like the maybe culturally for people to be in touch at all, or is this like they've actually just taken it on and like go for it?
Certainly. I think for any Asian countries where touch is very very commonly seen as a taboo, especially in Vietnam. Where it's very much influenced by the Confucianism in China. it's very much embedded in the culture. The culture is very very separated by gender, and then have very strict gender roles. Then contact has brought in very radical changes into the community. Very interesting fact I'd like to mention about the Vietnamese community is why, in comparison to many other contact community in the world, where maybe the male participants outnumber female participants, in Vietnam it's quite the opposite, where female women really show interest in contact practice. I think Vietnamese women are very interested in the way they can liberate themselves through embodiment practices, relational practices, and I think my guess would be maybe it's time for Vietnamese men to step up and do their part.
Yeah.
Because I think if it's a contact, very much a relational practice, and it should be done mutually.
Yeah. But anyway, it's more like a reclamation of your body if you're in a culture where it's not as useful to exist in the body as a woman in some ways, perhaps, or because of stereotypes. I mean, I think this can exist in different communities from anywhere in the world, but. I've felt a deeper reclamation of my body in contact compared to most other dance forms where it was even like choreographed or something like this. I'm like, oh, I don't have to be something, right, to put on a performative role of any kind. I can just exist in the moment. So this is another aspect that's super valuable.
And I think I would like to say again, I would not blame Vietnamese men for not maybe actively engaging in this relational practice or improvement of their relationship.
Yeah.
But I think it's part of the culture that's really strictly put men and women into boxes with certain restrictions, like men should only like go out and like take care of the finance and credentials and do all, just finish the job and come back home and then not taking care of others. I think contact really brought in that gender equality into the communities, where we all share the weight, we're all out there to take care of others, we all can show emotions, expressions of ourselves, how we'd like to move our bodies, being intimate, being sensual. I think it's liberate people, regardless of gender, regardless of cultural conditioning.
Yeah, it's just interesting to sometimes just see like, oh, this is what's here, not to judge it at all, but it's like we have these society expectations of this and that. But I notice in teaching beginners, particularly women, are really afraid to like give their weight, to like give, you know, they're like,
men
comes from this fear of like, I'm too much. Like I'm like, oh, I'm a burden or whatever. This thing, I see at every workshop. I'm like, oh, honey, give your weight. You're fine.
Well,
like,
well,
you don't weigh that much. It's okay. But yeah.
Surprisingly, men do the same.
Men
do the same. We all, regardless of gender, we're all afraid to give weight to each other, to be a burden to others.
Yeah.
Wow.
We're going to take a short break just to talk about some exciting new projects coming out. So we have Contact Body. This is a online contact improvisation course I've been working on for many months. It's based off of the beginner's workshop I've been teaching in Ubud. It's split into two segments. So Solo Body is all about solo improvisation. There's Bartini with fundamentals and floor work.
and somatic practices, and it's really about tuning inwards to your own body. And then Two Bodies is about learning contact improvisation partner work. So these are two courses that are completely self-paced and available to purchase online for you to learn from home, the beginning foundations about contact improv. So if that's something that's curious to you, the full details are on contactbody.ca, because I'm Canadian. And you can learn all about that, and there's a promo video. And also please check us out at Faces of CI on Instagram for lots of inspiration and more about our interviewees.
We'll be back soon with our latest guest. For now, I wanted to share a dance game oracle deck, that's right, that I've created and invented called Fortune Score. So what is Fortune Score? It's a deck created for you to dig deeper into the practice of contact improv. And as a self-professed tarot and contact enthusiast, I blended the two to be used as an educational tool for facilitators and contact improv fans. This game has been played many times in Bali at jams, so much so that one of my students asked me to make it into a deck, and I have, and it's received a lot of positive reception. So it's effective to be played at a round robin, a festival, or a contact jam, or you can also pull cards as you would for an everyday oracle deck and take the theme with you as you would move through the world. This is a deck of scores. As you may or may not know, in improvised dance, we often use a dance score, which is the suggestion for you to keep in mind for yourself in the dance. Each card offers you a fortune, like you'd pull from a fortune cookie. And these are prompts I've gathered from a variety of places: mindfulness, 80 sci-fi books, teachers and trainings I've had, and a lot of them I've honestly just made up. So, a fun story behind the deck for some history and context. Paxton held some of the first performances in contact improvisation in New York City, where they danced for 5 hours a day for a week at John Weber Gallery, and audiences were streaming in and out, seeing this performance of what would become contact improvisation. And in preparation, Steve went to Chinatown and had fortune cookies made with an invitation inside. Dancers went around handing the cookies to people on the streets of New York. And the fortune said, come to John Weber Gallery for contact improvisations. So this is my ode to that sense of humor, a tongue-in-cheek homage to the origins of CI. And it's my invitation for you to come and join the mystery of the dance. A limited run of decks have been printed. You can grab your deck of Fortune Score online. There's a link in the show notes to our Instagram at Faces of CI, and you'll find out where to buy them there. Grab yours today, and we're going to come back to our episode with our latest guest right about now. Do you find any challenges within like the contact community, perhaps in Vietnam or for yourself as a teacher?
And a difficulty.
Yeah, difficulty.
Well, for me, I would love to have more people stepping up and also sharing the practice.
Mm-hmm.
So the community in Vietnam could have a more diverse perspective,
mm-hmm,
of what the practice is. Because I think, again, I'm saying contact is a very generous practice, a very multifaceted practice, which can be looked from various perspectives. The relational practice, the physical practice, it can be like a therapeutic in a way, healing practice in a way. So by having more people sharing the practice and application of it, then I think it would draw in more people and more interest.
To have more facilitators within Vietnam, for people to step into facilitating roles, Because I mean, surely you can bring people over. I know that we had, maybe you had something with Dolores, I think, at some point. Yes. Came in and you guys did something last fall. Do you want to share about that?
Yes. So I met Dolores and Sasha, I think, 2019. Actually, one of my students, I gave a scholarship to my student from Vietnam, and she traveled to Thailand and to learn with Sasha and Dolores, and then she was so inspired. So she ended up inviting Sasha and Dolores back to Vietnam to give workshops and retreats. So it's already the exchange of practices already happened. But I would love to have like Vietnamese artists, Vietnamese band artists, stepping up and then sharing the practice, because I think I'm very much interested in a dialogue between contact improvisations, which is already a dialogue between Eastern and Western philosophies and physical practices,
mm-hmm.
and also with the Vietnamese culture.
Yeah.
I think it's bringing in a very good mix.
What do you think could be brought in from Vietnamese culture into contact that might actually be useful, or something that you've seen that's just happening in your community already, perhaps?
So, for me, physically speaking, we already have like cultural or Vietnamese martial arts, which we very much share the philosophy with Aikido. It's all about blending in a space with your partners, not seeing others as an enemy, but very much like blending in to be in harmony with each other. And the name of the practice is Wobinan. And also very much of local martial art practices. Yes, they share much the same philosophy with contact.
Yeah, perhaps with Aikido, so even have like martial arts teachers from Vietnam come in and teach some things. It could be
That has been my interest for quite a while, but haven't been able to pull it out.
It's all, sometimes it's just finding the right time and the right teacher. If someone comes in and it's like, oh, or like you go and train in it yourself. I wasn't finding the right Aikido teachers in Bali, and then we had Aikido sessions every morning here as part of Christy Simpson, and now I can, okay, I can share a 2-hour class. I'm not Aikido master, but like, you know. Do you have any other practices outside of contact that help, that you keep coming back to perhaps, that are complementary to contact? I know you said you have like ballet background before, but like any other complementary practices?
Complementary practices.
Are some things that have influenced your research into CI?
Well, for me, I got introduced to water dance by Sasha and Dolores.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really a very good complementary practice to the CI practice, because it helps soften the tone of your body, especially if you come from any background of like working out or athletic sports, then you have a very strong body tone. And so really water dance really help you like to soften.
You have to.
The tone, soften the touch.
Yeah.
It helps a lot. Besides that, Aikido also helps. A very good practice to give you clarity about space, about the touch. And also it kind of put the seeds of humbleness inside of you to be really humble in any practice, I think, because when you have that sense of gratitude towards others, towards the practice, you kind of, yeah, it show you like you have capacity, you have potential to learn more.
Yeah, you can't have ego in Aikido. It's like we're all gonna fall down, and we have to bow to the teacher.
Yeah,
you learn. I learned a sense of discipline that I don't think I had before, and I'm like, wow, I get this. It puts you something else above you.
Yeah,
you
something
know,
bigger
makes
than
it
you.
About the practice, and it's like I see that that's translated into context. Like, for
there's
sure.
always something bigger than you, something you yeah. haven't known about.
Yeah. What brings you the most joy in contact?
What brings me the most joy? I think it's a realization that I can always be more gentle, can always be softer, more listening than I am now. Can only be. There's no limit to gentleness, to caring, to resilience. Yeah, there's no limit. You can always deepen the practice more.
Mm-hmm.
It's also bring me joy. Whenever I can have a really great dance one day, and then the next day, maybe not so good, but then I can always improve. I can always take a step further, softer, more listening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really hope. I think it's all boiled down to hope.
To hope?
Yeah.
Hopefulness.
Yeah, because in contact, there's always a sense of mystery,
mm-hmm.
a sense of curiosity out there. And maybe even in your day when you feel down and you don't really get it, but then you still sense it. There's something out there that I just need to maybe wait a little bit more, be a little bit more patient,
mm-hmm.
then things will start to make sense.
Yeah. I've learned more patience through contact, for sure.
Yes. And patience is really, really the heart of it.
Yeah, so you're sharing a workshop as well in a couple of days. What's your workshop here at the festival? You'll have two days.
Yes, I'm sharing a 3-day workshop named Towards Oneness.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the name I really got inspired recently by talks and sharing of Esther Perel. She's a very famous, well-known couple therapist. She talks a lot, not only about couples counseling, but also about our relationship to ourselves, to work, the work we do, and to our beloved ones. Yeah, and there's one point that I really remember when she talked about the world is becoming very much polarized right now. We lose the capacity to listen to each other's and really become stubborn in our own perspective. And she points out to come back, to really come together again, to be able to come together again, we need to kind of get back our capacity of holding the nuances, holding two sides of any issues, and also getting back our capacity to hold paradoxes. Yeah.
Wow, I'm excited
So
to see you.
it's really about acknowledging maybe our distance, our differences, but also at the same time acknowledging our similarities and common ground. So I think in my three-day workshop, we explore that a little bit, maybe with some props, also sticks, and then we will move around that idea of how do we hold in paradoxes.
Wow. I look forward to this. I like that there's this concept of bringing relational dynamics into contact. It's so key. It's like, to how do we explore this further? So that sounds really beautiful.
I don't know how it's going to turn out. It's one of my kind of recent research.
Yeah.
Very much inspired by Esther Perel. Mm-hmm. And anyone out there, if you are, just try listening to her talks and her sharing online. It's amazing.
Yeah. Beautiful. Okay, well, where else can people find you online if they want to find out about perhaps the Vietnam community if they're visiting or more about your work as well?
Simply, you just can Google Contact Improv Hanoi.
Yeah.
You will find our Facebook page.
Yeah.
Or if you, we're based in Hanoi, if you go down Dao Sao to Ho Chi Minh City, you can Google Vietnam Contact Improv. Yes. Just send us a message and we can direct you to our smaller community across Vietnam as well, because we are in Nha Trang, Hoi An, every city we have someone out there to welcome you to our community.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Well, thank you very much for joining today.
Thank you.
Thank you
for giving me a chance to share with everyone about our community.
Beautiful. And we're going to head off and we're going to go to tonight's jam. We're doing underscore talk prep, which is review, but we'll continue and carry on the dance.
I'd love to listen to it again.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.